The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
People like to hear what they already believe. I do. I'm guessing you do too. We see this all the time. People don't go to a political rally to be challenged in their views, but to be told that they're on the right side, to be told that what they believe is true and good. I mean, this goes to an extreme these days on our phone. If we read news from one website, that website will send more stories like that one to read. So we hear what we want to hear again and again. We all want to hear what we already believe. Did any of you come here today because you wanted to be challenged in your ways of thinking? That's not why I came. I want to be told that, yes, Andrew, your view, your belief is good and right. That God is on my side and God will meet my desires and expectations. In our story from Luke, the people of Judea and Jerusalem are waiting. They're waiting for God to show up for their people, to save them from their enemies. That's the message they want to hear, that God will come to defeat your enemies. You see, the Romans have been in control of their homeland for nearly 100 years. Roman soldiers walk the streets of God's holy city like it's nothing special, like they own the place. And the people are paying high taxes to the Roman Empire. And they're waiting, they're ready for God to come and save them, to push out the Romans, to return Jerusalem to the people of Israel. And they had heard the Hebrew prophets of old talk about a promised one, God's promised one, a Messiah, a Savior that would come to deliver them from their enemies. They didn't know exactly who this Messiah, this Savior, would be. They didn't know exactly what he would look like, what he would do, but they believed he would bring the change they were waiting for. And word began to spread among the people that there was a new prophet in Israel, a man named John. And he was out in the wilderness by the Jordan River, living off the land. And they thought, maybe this man is the promised one, the Messiah. He was preaching about God's judgment, that God was coming to judge. And John was baptizing people to show that they were ready for God to arrive, for God to come and bring judgment on their enemies. All these stories they heard of John in the wilderness reminded them of the prophet Elijah. And they wondered, maybe Elijah has come back. Maybe this John is more than another prophet. Maybe he's the one we've been waiting for. So the crowds put on their best sandals and walk 30 miles into the wilderness to find this preacher named John. And they come to hear what they already believe. They want to hear a message about God's judgment on their enemies, that God is coming to judge their enemies. They want to hear a prophecy that the Roman Empire will be pushed out of Israel. But pretty quickly they realize this John isn't here to tell them what they want to hear. John isn't here to say, you all believe the right way. God is on your side. No, John challenges them. He says, you nest of poisonous snakes. I don't think John would get a job at Church of the Servant as a pastor. you nest of poisonous snakes. If I was in the crowd, I'd be like, oh, you mean them? Not me. No, them. That's not what the people came to hear. They want to hear that they're on God's side. They want that cheap grace. You know what I'm talking about, that cheap grace that just pats us on the back, that kind of overlooks our sin, that says, you're fine, relax, don't worry about how you're living. God just loves you. We love that message. We want to hear it. But that's not how God's salvation works. God's salvation comes not only to save us, but to challenge us, to change our ways, to be new people. And this salvation is never something we give ourselves. We're not the ones who can say, it's okay, you're good. We have to receive this message as a gift. God's salvation is always a gift. So the crowd is getting a bit nervous and uncomfortable. No one wants to be one of those trees John is talking about that will be cut down and thrown into the fire. They said, no way, that's not me. Okay, I'll be baptized. So they asked John, what should we do? What can we do to avoid God's judgment? So John answers the different groups of people he sees in the crowd. He preaches to the day laborers, and he says, you need to care about those in need. Share the extra that you have. Be generous. And he preaches to the educated folks with the government jobs. He says, be honest. And he preaches to the soldiers who are working for the empire. He says, don't abuse your power. God's coming judgment means everyone has to change. Everyone. No exceptions. John Calvin said, repentance is an inward thing. It's a turning of the heart. But it also results in the production of fruit by a change in life. So if we're really turning around, turning towards God, it will show up in the way we live, in the things we do. So John has the crowds convinced that they need to change, and so they say, yes, I'll be baptized. And they go down into the Jordan River, and John baptizes one person after another. When they walked out of those waters, do you think they were new people? Do you think they went back to Jerusalem, opened their closet, took out their extra coat, and gave it to the person who had none? Do you think they really changed? Do you think the tax collectors went back to their booths and never charged more than they should? Do you think the soldiers never again abused their power? What do you think? Do you think they left those waters as new people? Would they do good enough things to avoid God's judgment? Can we ever do enough good? If you looked ahead in your reading to the top of the next page in the Bible, you saw what happens next. After John's message that God is coming, that God will show up, do you know who shows up next in the story? Skip over that part about Herod. That's for later. There's a man in the back of the crowd. He's traveled the farthest of anyone. He's come all the way from Nazareth to hear John preach. His name is Jesus. And he gets in line and steps down into the water with all the other people to be baptized. Why? Why would Jesus get down into the waters? Why would Jesus enter the river? He doesn't need to change his life. He doesn't need to turn around. Why would Jesus go down into the water? Because Jesus is one of them. Jesus is part of the crowd. He's also a son of Abraham. He went out into the wilderness with the people and for the people. That's why Jesus came, because he was one of them. Jesus went into the water for the factory worker and the retired college professor. Jesus went into the water for the police officer and the stay-at-home mom. Jesus went into the water for the citizen and the immigrant. Friends, Jesus comes to identify with us, with our lives. Jesus comes as one of us, and he's baptized for us. This is grace. This is the good news of God's salvation. And John says, Jesus is the Messiah, not me. And we believe that. That's why we're here, because we believe Jesus is the promised one. But now we have to ask, can then we just ignore John's message and his call to repentance because Jesus has come with grace? Let's try this activity. All right, this side of the room is grace. All right, let's say grace. Grace. All right, this side of the room is good works. Say good works. Good works. Grace. Good works. Okay. And the aisle between is a river. It's a river flowing toward God. And each of us has been given a boat to move along this river toward God. That's where we want to go. We want to go toward God. And in this life that we travel on the river, it's hard to navigate that river. Sometimes we drift in our boat toward grace, towards God's love and forgiveness, that we are accepted in Jesus Christ. But we find that we get stuck in the muddy banks of the river on this side in cheap grace, where we're just patting ourselves on the back, saying, good job, you're saved, you're loved. You don't have to change. But that's cheap grace. That's not the true grace God gives. So we have to push off that muddy bank, back into the river where the water flows toward God. But then we kind of drift over here toward good works, towards discipline and holiness, toward justice and obedience, toward prayer and fasting and service. And we're doing all these good works, and we realize we're stuck in this muddy bank, stuck in the mud of works righteousness. And we say, God, I'm doing so much good. Don't you love me? I'm not like those sinners over there. No, we're stuck, and we're not moving towards God. So what do we have to do? We have to push away from those lies. Back out into the river. None of us can navigate this river perfectly. All of us drift, and we get stuck in the mud. But we have to move back out into the river that flows toward God. Friends, there's no river without grace and good works. There's no way to move toward God. None of us can stay in the middle, but we keep paddling. We keep pushing off the banks. We keep finding where the water is flowing. That's where we want to be, right between the river banks, in the deep water. Because that's where John and Jesus stand. That's where John calls our name and says, repent, turn your life around. And that's where Jesus is, where the voice from heaven says, you are my beloved child. And with you, I'm well pleased. It's between the riverbanks where grace and good works flow together so that we move towards God's kingdom as one people. That's where we want to be, where judgment and mercy flow together, where assurance of salvation and the call to holiness flow together as one, where that call to be perfect meets the confidence that we have been made righteous in Christ and we are a holy people, where these flow together as one. So yes, we have to listen to John's message. We have to examine our lives to see how we're not living according to God's kingdom, to see what in our lives needs to change so we can move in that strong current of God's salvation, move toward the kingdom. But we can do that without fear. We can do that with joy, because we know that we're forgiven people, that we're saved by grace. We're set free. Friends, that's where we want to be, right in that water, where we remember that God's grace and the holy life that Jesus lived come together perfectly. That's where we want to be, in the waters of our baptism, where we're made new, where we're washed clean, and we're forgiven anew each day, and we're called to repent each morning, to turn again, to live a new life. Friends, it's easy to get stuck in the mud. All of us get stuck in the mud. But that's okay. We keep pushing off the banks. We keep getting back into that strong current of God's salvation. And that's where we see Jesus and John the Baptist calling us home to be with God forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.